Look at somebody and say, Happy Thanksgiving. I want to first of all thank all of our team. Before we announce the nations, two quick things. First of all, we want to thank everybody. Just what an amazing time we had feeding those that didn't have a Thanksgiving. I think there was over 300 that were fed upstairs. And so thank you to everybody that participated with that. One of the stories I have to tell you before I say this is thank you for your generosity supporting works like Guatemala and for our Child Cry. Child Cry is our missions arm that feeds literally thousands and thousands of children every single week that Pastor Carter from many years ago started. And I think Treg, Liliana, I think 77 nations, is it 70? 73 nations that you guys are supporting, Guatemala being one of them. Thank you. But one of the little caveats of that story is you saw our announcer on that, our host on the generosity video was Charisma is her name. And Charisma, we just found this out today. Charisma was there helping feed at the tables and ministering to people. And I said, Charisma, I didn't even know about this. And I asked if I can have permission and she gave it to me. So when Ricardo finished the song, the closing song and blessed everybody to leave this place Sunday, Charisma was sitting right out there in the middle. She was sitting next to her boyfriend. He knelt down and after amen, he said, would you marry me? And so you see Charisma. That's why you should always serve in church. You never know what can happen. You never know. You never know. That's why I'll stop right there. Let me just continue on. We want to welcome the nations. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. We want to welcome the nations, those that are live with us today. We welcome Malaysia and India. We say hello to Singapore, the Philippines, Cambodia. We welcome our friends from South Korea, the Netherlands, United Kingdom, and Finland. Hello to Hungary, Portugal, Ukraine. We're praying in Jesus' name that God would stop that war. We say hello to Greece, Denmark, Kenya, South Africa, Australia, Suriname, French Guyana, Peru. We say hello to Canada, Mexico, Trinidad and Tobago, Guatemala, Jamaica, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Costa Rica. We say hello to U.S. Virgin Islands, Barbados, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. Would you welcome all those that are watching? Some 33 states from around the U.S. are with us and some restricted nations that we are not allowed to mention due to persecution that are taking place there. And we're so thankful that you're watching with us. What a blessing. It's amazing to me that right after the day is known as Thanksgiving, we go immediately into something called Black Friday. Let me say that again. Right after Thanksgiving, this nation, for those that don't know what that is, Black Friday is considered the biggest retail day of the year. And I hate to say this, only in America do people trample each other for sales on more stuff that they were just thankful for the day before. And that just ends the gratefulness. I think the most important two words you can know in prayer is this, thank you. Just thank you, thank you. There's something powerful about gratitude. I wanna share for just a few moments tonight, and then we're going to have a thank you altar call tonight. We are gonna be praying for people at this altar, but it's gonna be a thank you prayer meeting tonight. And so we'll get to that in just a few moments. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, would you just come and do something special? I first of all wanna say thank you for your presence. Would you just thank him today if you haven't already? If you haven't thanked Jesus today, just thank him. Ricardo told you to. I'm telling you to. Let's just thank him. Thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I know you didn't get a chance to do this. Before you sit down, why don't you just look at someone and say, thank you for coming tonight. Just tell someone right around you, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you. Stay right here for a second. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you. Thomas Chisholm was a sickly failure. He tried to sell insurance, failed. Tried to start a farm, failed. He tried to edit a Christian magazine, that failed too. Then he decided to go into the ministry and be a Methodist preacher. That failed in just 1 year. So he sat down one day despite feeling like he failed and decided to write words that he was hoping would just begin to express to God that he was not angry with God, but there was something deeper that was happening. So Thomas Chisholm, God used him not to sell insurance, not to start a farm or edit a Christian magazine or even preach sermons, but he would write something that would minister to millions. I know it's ministered to me in the midst of all that was going on in his life, in the midst of so many things that were happening. Thomas Chisholm sat down and just wrote these words. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. And then without skipping a beat, Thomas would write the words, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All, come on, say it with me. I have needed, thy hand hath provided. And then he writes the words, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Come on, lift those hands. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is. There is no turning with thee. Thou change. As thou hast been. Come on, sing it to him. Thou forever. Come on, let's sing this with a grateful heart. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing it, church. Great. Hallelujah. Instead of Thomas asking for ministry, a job, food, favor, for God to fix anything, he just simply said thanks through a hymn. That's just all it was. It was thank you. He replaced petition with thanksgiving. He replaced petition with thanksgiving. For just a moment, I want to just share with you for about the next 10 minutes before we start to pray and just share what God's put on my heart. Would you just receive what the Lord wants to do? Father, in these next few moments, I pray that what you spoke to my heart would just sink into the hearts of everyone that's in this place. Do something special in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Thank you, Willie. Thank you so much. Jot this down. The word intercession means praying for the needs of others. And the word petition means praying for your needs. When you intercede for somebody, you're praying for somebody else's needs. When you make a petition, you're praying for your needs. That's what Thomas could have done. Thomas Chisholm could have gone into deep petition. And there's so many times that we have so many petitions that we forget to intercede for others because we have so much going on in our own life. In fact, another word for petition is the word, big word for you, is supplication. It's the same word. It's praying for you. It's praying for the needs. It's praying for what you are lacking. I want to share something with you that Jesus did while being faced with a crowd of 5,000 people waiting for lunch. He had one boy's lunch and therefore had a 4,999 shortfall. He had to feed 5,000, and the only thing in his hand was one lunch. So what did Jesus do? This is what I felt strongly about. He replaced petition with thanksgiving. He replaced petition, praying for yourself, praying for your immediate need, praying for what's happening right now, praying for my son, my daughter, my need, provision, I'm praying for my rent, I'm praying for healing. He replaced petition with thanksgiving. There are 38 recorded miracles recorded in the gospel, and only one of them appears in all four gospels, and this is the only one. It's the feeding of the 5,000, which is recorded in Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. It's the only one of all the 38 that each of the disciples began to, of the writers began to put down. If Jesus did miracles and four witnesses recorded all these different ones, somehow this caught their attention. Somehow this one began to become something so huge for them. So the gospel writers of these 38 recorded miracles decided that this would be the one that they would all begin to speak about. This was the one in John chapter 6 that I want to use that account of it and speak to you about it. Yesterday, I was walking the streets, and I was walking the streets to pray for you and pray for the services and pray for this, for the outreach tonight. And as I was walking, I realized I needed some money. I needed some cash. So I stopped at an ATM machine, and I couldn't even get very far until I got a story from somebody on the streets. And so I didn't get far, and some man said, my car's been towed, my phone doesn't work, my wife is on the way, everyone in New York is mean to me, I need $14. So I've heard every story, folks. I just want you to know that. I've heard everything, and I don't know. One of my favorite was I had somebody come to me and say, I need $3. They bombed my apartment. I said, I'm going to give you $5 for that one. I said, for anyone to have their apartment bombed and all you need is $3, I'm going to give you $5, an extra $2 to help you in whatever is happening in your apartment. $3 because they bombed my apartment with missiles. Let me just say this to you. So I've heard it all, and I don't know what came over me, but immediately I just said, I you just don't say these kind of things. I just go, I was at the ATM machine, so I got money to give to you. I don't even know why I said that. So I give the man, and all I had, the only thing that came out of the ATM was a $20 bill. So I said, here's, I didn't even tell Cindy. She's hearing this for the very first time tonight. But we're thankful. We're thankful tonight. So I said, here's $20. Here it is for you. And then the guy goes, I have one more favor to ask. And as soon as he said that, I said, no. And he goes, have a great Thanksgiving. And so at first I was convicted. Then I started to walk away. And then I kept thinking, did I get swindled? Did I just pull money out too fast? I gave $20. Usually if it's the streets, you give a $1 or some, here's change, here's a $5 bill. But I gave $20. And I was wondering, and then I thought, I'm gonna walk back to see if he's asking other people for money too. I'm gonna, because I wanna go back there. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, you be thankful that you had it to give. You be thankful that you had it to give. You don't go back as a private eye. You don't go back to see what's going on. You just say, thank you that I had it to give. The story of the loaves and the fishes highlight gratefulness. It doesn't simply highlight a need or a 4,999 meal shortfall. Listen to these words. This is the lad with the lunch. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000. Now, folks, here's the verse that I couldn't release, and I just want to share with you for over the next few moments. Verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise all of the fish, as much as they wanted. Look at those three words, having given thanks. When Jesus prayed, think about this, not even the mention of I need more bread or I need more fish. It was just simply thanking God that there was one meal that was there. Thanking God. There was something there that I just was overwhelmed with because I would have kicked into a bread and fish prayer. I would have kicked into, God, we need a miracle. You can do it. You fed the children in the desert in the book of Exodus. I would have been right into Exodus with God. But immediately, all Jesus did was say, he gave thanks. Something began to work as a miracle. When I find myself leaking faith, there is a writer, there is a biography, there is a person whose life always begins to seem to plug up the holes and fill me up with faith. If you've never read the story or have read any of the incidents with one of the great orphanage directors, George Mueller from the 19th century, George Mueller from Bristol, England, was known to work with thousands and thousands of orphans at England's and London's lowest time. He'd bring them in and feed them. The famous orphanage director, at this time, George Mueller, had 1,000 orphans, and while they were there seated at their hall, there was no food to eat. And what he did was take a page from this story and just told the orphans, we're going to give thanks that God is going to provide. We're just going to give thanks. And writes in his biography, he said, one morning there was no food to eat, but he called all the children and the staff together and they prayed, thanking God that he always provides for them. Even though there's no food on the table, he is our provider. He said, as soon as he said amen, a knock on the door came and it was the bakery from down the street. It was the man, the owner said, I don't know what it was, but I was awakened last night by the Lord that I was to bake you bread for all the orphans. Here it is. They didn't even get the bread on the table when all of a sudden a man comes up and says, my truck broke down in front of your home. Remember, this is the 19th century. My milk truck broke down and I don't want the milk to get spoiled. Can you take all this milk for all the children that are here? That by the time this man said, thank you, God provided. God did it. Having given thanks. These are just powerful words. They've said it, that it's the number one phrase, even in successful relationships, just to say thank you. Thank you for cooking. Thank you for doing the laundry. Thank you for working hard. Thank you. And it's amazing to me because if somebody isn't thankful, one person said it like this, if a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely going to be thankful for what he's going to get. We have to start with what we've already been given. Even if it's one lunch and you need 4,999 others, stop and thank God for what he's already done. Even if somebody takes your last $20. Paul prays it this way, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and with, let your requests be made known to God. Someone said, you say, if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. You make a mistake. If you're not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. Spurgeon said that. Somebody once said, ingratitude denotes spiritual immaturity. Infants do not always appreciate what parents do for them. They have short memories. Their concern is not what you did for me yesterday, but what are you doing for me today and right now? The past is meaningless, and so is the future. They live for the present. Folks, that seeps into the church, that we forget what he's already done. Thank God for what he has done. Thank God that he will take care of the future. But there's something about this. Gratitude is what I would call rare air. It's rare air. Not many people live that way. Let me tell you what we're going to do tonight and finish with this. I'm going to ask if the musicians would come. I want to finish with this. I have to tell you a story. There's a preacher that I've read this story in one of his books. He's a Presbyterian preacher from the 1900s. His name is Clarence McCartney. His books have had a great impact on me. One of my favorite books is called The Greatest Words in the Bible in Human Speech. And he takes one word. He talks about each of the words. Like one of the sermons was called The Saddest Word, and it's the word tomorrow. And he just goes through all these scriptures and stories. And he talked about something that caught my attention because it happened at a place on Long Island where I grew up as a young man. He told the story about the first transatlantic flight. It was the man Charles Lindbergh who made the first flight from the U.S. across the Atlantic Ocean. I didn't even know this, but he took off from the place that I grew up going to the shopping mall when malls existed. Now we have Amazon. But I grew up going to a place on Long Island called Roosevelt Field. Roosevelt Field was the airstrip that Lindbergh took off from. That's where the plane took off for the first transatlantic flight, Roosevelt Field, Long Island. His plane was called the Spirit of St. Louis. It's there in that city right now. And flew for 33 hours from Long Island to Paris. Many others attempted it, but many failed. But Clarence McCartney tells of one of those failures on the transatlantic flight, or tells about this story on the transatlantic flight that really just caught my attention. Stand with me as I tell it to you. He said when he got up, when he was taking off, he heard a noise that was very foreign. It wasn't a noise of an engine that was going bad. It wasn't the noise of something breaking down. The pilot realized that this sound that was coming from the cockpit, when he looked down at his feet, he saw a rat out of reach and was eating the coils of the wire. So he's not going to get very far if that rat eats through those coils. And he knew if he didn't do anything, he would know that his instrument panel would go down and he would surely die in the cold waters of the Atlantic. That there was something that he had to do. So he's sitting there going, I've got to fly 33 hours. I hear the gnawing. I see the problem. I can't reach it. And I don't know what to do. Is this rat is eating the coils, that was going to begin to shut down the electrical system of this airplane. And then it clicked in. He decided he would take the plane to a higher altitude where the rodent can't live. He would go to an altitude where he could breathe, but that rat can't breathe. So instead of killing the rat, he brought it up higher. Instead of trying to reach and get this thing, he brought it up. He took it to a higher altitude that killed this thing. That when he realized, if I can get up there, it begins to kill a whole bunch of other stuff that's here trying to eat away. Discontentment, that's trying to eat away at envy and jealousy. When I begin to live in that rare air of gratitude, jealousy doesn't gnaw away at me. Envy, well, they got this. You know what's crazy? Some of you couldn't even rejoice that charisma got engaged. Oh yeah, you got found out. It's because there you are. There's another one. What about me, God? You know what you're supposed to do? Take it up to higher altitudes and go, thank you, Jesus, that Lord, right now, it's in your timing. I trust you that while when you stay low, those rats get at you. They begin to gnaw away. It's jealousy. It's envy. It's discontent. Rare air is gratitude. When Jesus when Jesus has 4,999 shortfall, he goes, go to a higher level. Thank God for one meal. Thank God. And you know, what does God do? You got the rest of it. It's all there. Now, here's what we're gonna do tonight. How many have some things that you need a miracle, you need an answer to prayer for? All of you. Okay, put your hands down. We're not praying for any of you tonight. That's what we're doing. I'm gonna ask our prayer teams to come though. Let me tell you what we're gonna do. Because this is what I felt, is we're so used to bringing the 4,999 things to the altar. You know what we're gonna do tonight? We're gonna bring our one lunch to the altar tonight. And what these altars are gonna become tonight is this. We're gonna ask you to become like that only leper that got healed by Jesus. Let me tell you what you've been used to for all the years at this church. You've been used to this. Are you sick? Come down, we're gonna pray for healing. You need a miracle? Come down. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Come on down. You need a prodigal that needs to come home? Come on down, come on. Let me tell you what all these are gonna do. Those were the 499. That's 4,999, that's the shortfall. We're not praying for any of that tonight. You know what we're praying for? We're not praying for anything. We're gonna bring our one lunch and say, would you rejoice with me and say thank you with me that God has been good to me. God has been good. And here's what's amazing. It will determine if you live in rare air. Because you know what some of you will do? You're going, because if we praying for, how many need a job? Everybody's in the, a lot of people. How many need rent money? Everybody's there. How many need healing? Everybody's there. But this is the challenge. You know what these aisles are gonna be? It's gonna be rare air. It's gonna be rare air. Who can bring and say, I wanna thank God for the one lunch. I wanna bring that what God did and bring one thing and let people rejoice with you. And this is what you're gonna do. Would you rejoice with me? Here's my lunch. I have one thing to rejoice about today. Maybe there's 10,000 things, but you're going, I just wanna rejoice that I just celebrated, that, you know, it's like me. God, I just wanna rejoice that Cindy and I have been married 29 years, just about 4 weeks ago. I wanna rejoice with you. It's bringing down and just saying, I thank God I did my blood work this week. I did my blood work this week. And I thank God that the numbers were good. Bring the one lunch. Bring it down. The challenge is these middle aisles, because these are the aisles that represent for almost every Sunday for us. They represent the 4,999 needs that we have in this place. But now this night before Thanksgiving, can they just simply represent He's good. He's provided. And so what I'm gonna do is, instead of asking for fish and bread to fix me, I'm just gonna say, I wanna thank God I got an apartment. It's not as big as I would want it to be. It's not in the best place that I wanted to. I thank God I'm not on the streets. Would you rejoice? So prayer teams, I'm just gonna let you know, our prayer teams, we have two lines of prayer teams. Prayer teams, If you get anybody that tries to give you the 4,900, just say, what's the one? Tell me the one, because we're gonna rejoice. What are we doing? We're giving thanks. So here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I need all the people that wanna be in rare air tonight to get out in those middle aisles, because you're gonna come down and have people rejoice with you. Then as our team begins to sing, once they pray for you, you're just gonna go back to your seat and worship with us, and then we're gonna share communion at the end. So you'll come down as you're getting in the aisles now, just get in the aisles, both sides. Then you're gonna have people, just say, rejoice with me. Here's my one lunch tonight, let's rejoice. Let's not ask him for anything tonight. Can we just say thank you to Jesus tonight? Can we sing Goodness of God tonight? Let's start off with that. Let's start off with All My Life You Have Been Faithful. And so as you get ready to come, we just need those. How many are going with me to go, like, I'm going up to rare air tonight. I'm taking this thing, throttle that thing up and get to rare air tonight. So as we sing this, Goodness of God, I want you to begin to come. And then what we'll do is I'll come up after we finish Thanksgiving, then I'll come up and we're gonna do the greatest Thanksgiving, which is sharing communion tonight. We'll share in communion at the very end. Come on, you come on down. Let's begin. Bring your one lunch and just say, I wanna thank God for it. And then we'll come back and share communion.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. And And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness. From the top, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Lift your hands and sing it, say. And
I was. blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire. Born of his spirit, you washed in his blood.
Great is your faithfulness.
to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation.
How many had some good cups to say thank you, Jesus? I'm just telling you, I talked with some people. My heart was just so full to talk with them. We had some even people were sending in some thanksgiving online from different parts of the world, and just to say thank God for this, thank God for this, thank God. They were saying thank God my numbers went down. The doctor says I'm no longer pre-diabetic. There was somebody. Listen to this. I lost my job of 21 years in July. I'm 60 years old and I'm afraid of not finding work. But I am so grateful that God still has me eating and paying my bills. He will provide for me. It's a miracle. So we thank God for what he's doing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close with this tonight. It's 8:40. We're going to get ready to send you out just a little bit early, but not without doing with thanking God for the greatest. This, talk about the greatest cup. Come on, hold that cup up. This is the best cup that there is. So we're going to go ahead and take communion tonight. Thank God for what he has done on the cross. And then we're going to sing one song and then we'll dismiss you so you can go be with your family and get ready for the holidays and everything else. It's good to thank God once in a while, isn't it? And we will not stop praying for people at these altars. We will not stop praying for healings and all those things. But once in a while, we have to just say thank you for the one lunch. Thank you for the one lunch. We have to say thank you. Every person I prayed for, I said this. I said, each of us, God, have 4,999 things, and I probably can mention them all. How many have 4,999 things you could be praying for tonight? And that's why, but he has done so much for us. Amen? So let's get that cup, the best cup, and let's get ready. Take off the bottom. Go to the part where there is the bread. Let's get that out. This is communion. This is the part where we thank God. We try to pause once a week. If we do it on a Sunday once a month, and then all the other three nights we do it on a Tuesday. So we try to do this three Tuesdays every month and then one Sunday every month. So every single week, it was the heart of David Wilkerson that we would always thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here tonight. Well, this piece of bread represents his body that was broken for you. The Bible says, for I have received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't take it yet. The body, this is the body that was bruised. Stripes were on this. And so can we just thank God for every time he's healed you? The Bible says that by his stripes on this body. How many have ever been healed by God? Would you just thank him for that? Just say, I thank you that I've been healed. You're a healer, and I thank you for that. And so this bread reminds me, you came in the flesh for me, and I thank you for it. Let's take the bread together. Now you can turn the cup over, and you're going to carefully take off the top where the juice is, and we're going to thank God for his blood. We're not going to sing this. I know what you're going to do. We're going to thank God for his blood that reaches to the highest mountain and the blood that flows to the lowest. You can't say anything with Willie or he starts playing it. I'm just telling you that right now. If you don't know this, that's his MO. So if you use any word, he's going to go to a song. That's the way he lives. And so because there's another song that we're going to sing instead. But we thank God for his blood, don't we? I don't know about you, but man, when sin and selfishness try to come, I thank God there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father. The Bible says in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's take the cup together. Hallelujah. Now, would you get those cups out? We're going to send these buckets along. You'll throw those in there. We dispose of these immediately. And I told Ricardo, Elder Vicky, and the team, I said, let's close with something. I've been singing this song the other day in the car, and I just feel like rare air is a breakthrough. If we can get gratitude in our life. Gratitude. I'm just telling you, there's something that happens. There's something that happens when we can do that. So let's close with this tonight. Let's close. Let's believe for a thankful heart. That's the breakthrough. So I told Elder Vicky, I said, can we sing that song, Breakthrough, tonight? Can we do that tonight before we go? Come on, let's sing this song, Breakthrough, tonight. Come on, join with me.